From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Tomorrow marks 1 year since a mass shooting took place in Highland Park, Illinois, during the city's 4th of July parade. On that day, a young man went on the roof of a local business in the area and used a military-style rifle to shoot into a crowd of parade-goers. He killed 7 people and left 48 others wounded.
We're following this breaking news out of the Chicago area.
7 people are killed, a 2-year-old boy left without his parents, and dozens more injured.
And you can see the chairs, beach balls, water bottles, things that were left behind as people quite literally ran for their lives.
As you heard, police say they believe he is driving a silver Honda Fit with Illinois license plates.
The suspected shooter has been captured.
While the shooting became yet another footnote in our nation's long history of mass shootings and mass death, it did give new life to the push to ban the sale of assault weapons in Illinois. That passed into law in early January, although the measure has been challenged in court. And joining us now to further reflect on this tragedy and how the city is moving forward is the mayor of Highland Park, Illinois, Nancy Roetering. Welcome to the 21st Show. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Also with us, Rick Atterbury, a Highland Park resident who witnessed the shooting a block away and who formerly had a long volunteer relationship with our home station, Illinois Public Media. Rick, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Good to be here, Brian.
And listeners, I should say, in order to make all of our schedules work, we tape this conversation in advance, but you can always let us know what you thought by emailing talk@21stshow.org. All right, Rick, I want to begin with you. We spoke on the show last year. Can you just remind us where you were, what you saw on that day?
Sure. We were located just to the opposite side of the reviewing stand from where the shooter was. So we were about a half a block away from the business that he was located on. We were standing in the third row of people. We didn't have chairs. There were 2 rows of people sitting in chairs in front of us. We live just 2 blocks to the south from the parade route. So we were just watching the parade, and the gunshots, moment of confusion, were the fireworks, were the gunshots. It became apparent quickly that they were gunshots because they were rhythmic. And then at that point, you could kind of see dust blowing up from the streets from the ricochets and such. We were able to, my wife and I and a friend who was visiting, we were able to make it very quickly to the direction away from the shooting and around the corner, and then back to our condo, which is, as I said, was just a couple of blocks away.
Mayor Roetering, what about you? Where were you that day? What did you see?
We, as a city council, had just passed the reviewing stand and were heading westbound on Central Avenue. And to Rick's point about the sound of rhythmic, I actually turned to my council colleagues and said, I wonder why the marching band stopped playing. I only hear a drum cadence. And I didn't realize for 4 days afterwards that it was actually the shooting that we had been hearing. So we were about a block west of the hot zone.
And Mayor, what's going through your head as this tragedy is unfolding and you're learning more about what's happening that day?
Just that sickening, nauseating feeling of, no, this can't be real. This can't be happening. Not here, not us, not today. You know, we were so filled with joy to finally have the 4th of July parade again after the pandemic. The weather was beautiful. There were so many families out. And to hear this was really unreal and horrifying. Our immediate switch was to evacuate the parade route. And I can't tell you the look of confusion on the faces of anybody over the age of 40 who were like, what do you mean there's an active shooter? But the kids all have been training for this their entire lives and started yelling, run, hide, and encouraging, frankly, their parents and their grandparents to leave everything and run for their lives. It's a horrible experience to have to go through something like this. No community should have to endure this kind of terror and fear. And it's really unfortunate that it happens so frequently in our country.
Well, and as you say, it does happen frequently in our country, and there's often a lot of media attention for that first week or two after it happens. And then sadly, there's another tragedy that comes up to sort of displace it in the news. But you, of course, and your fellow Highland Park residents have had to deal with the aftermath for going on a year now. What long-term effects did this have on Highland Park?
You know, I can't speak for everybody, and each of us has talked about how it depends on the day, it depends on the events. When we had the lockdown of a high school on April 4th, when somebody brought a gun to school, and again, it was lights and sirens and screaming police cars from surrounding areas to come support our police in the face of what we then knew could be as horrible as the 4th of July was, that stops you in your tracks and the panic sets in. But we're heartbroken for these families who have now had to endure this year of firsts, missed birthdays, missed anniversaries, missed holidays, and the long path that lays ahead for so many who are still enduring surgeries, working through permanent changes to their lives because of this 1 minute by this one person who legally obtained this weapon.
Let me take a moment to say, if you're just joining us, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're reflecting on the mass shooting in Highland Park that took place last year during the city's Independence Day parade celebration. We're joined by the mayor of Highland Park, Nancy Rotering, and also Rick Atterbury, who's a former Illinois Public Media volunteer and a resident of Highland Park who witnessed and survived last year's tragedy. We tape this conversation in advance in order to make our schedules meet, so we're not taking calls live today, but you can leave us your thoughts at any time by leaving a voicemail at 217-300-2121, 217-300-2121. So, Rick, in the year since Independence Day last year, how have you and your loved ones and neighbors been able to cope with and process what happened?
I think, as the mayor said, everybody's doing it in their own way. It took a little while for us to revisit that part of Central Street, but we have been past there since, kind of routinely now. But we haven't, we're not big into crowds just yet. Taste of Highland Park was this past weekend, and we timed it to go early so as to avoid the crowds. I will say, I think even though we had been not active in anti-violence causes, I think at that first day when we talked the first time, I think I expressed some anger that we were going through this, that we had to go through this, that people were able to obtain military weapons that were designed solely to kill people. That really hasn't changed, but, you know, still angry about that, still hoping and trying to, you know, write our letters and work the legislature to try to make sure that this sort of thing doesn't happen again. I don't know how you put the genie back in the bottle, but we can't just give up.
Yeah. And I do want to come back to some of the policy responses we've seen in a moment. But Mayor Rotering, I guess my question to you is similar to what I was wondering with Rick. I mean, has your personal behavior changed as a result of this? I mean, as mayor, you probably don't have the luxury of avoiding large crowds as much as a private citizen might.
For me, it's really a matter of looking outward and trying to provide support and compassion and a listening ear to a community that's still deeply in agony, working through their fear, their sadness, and their fury. There are thousands of stories that have come from this. And as everybody heads towards this 1 year date, I'd say the key word is unsettled. A lot of people are feeling unsettled. And so to me, it's really a matter of how can I provide them with a sense of stability, that the city is here to support them, point them towards resources that might be helpful. My own family was impacted as well. My husband was in the reviewing stand. One of my children was in the parade. But we are all one. We are all one Highland Park. And knowing how, you know, the cameras leave and the country moves on. but each of us as a member of this community is continuing to work through this journey. And so for me, it's most important to be here for my community.
So Rick, you sort of alluded to activism in the wake of what happened there. And as I mentioned earlier, Illinois did pass a law. I'm not going to call it an assault weapons ban because I guess really it prohibits the future sale and possession of assault weapons. But of course, many thousands, tens of thousands of those weapons are grandfathered in. What do you think of how policymakers in Illinois have responded to what happened there, Rick?
Well, you know, ironically, as the mayor can attest to, Highland Park had such a ban already. Watching the legislature at work, I mean, they acted by our standards, I think, fairly quickly to enact the ban that's now working its way through the courts. The frustrating part, I think, has been to see the many lawsuits that have been filed against it from gun rights organizations, from people in the business of selling arms. I was pleased is probably the wrong word, but I was pleasantly surprised, I guess, by how quickly the legislature did deal with it. We'll see what happens in the long haul. It's still working its way through the courts, it's hard to tell.
And Mayor Roetering, as Rick mentioned there, Highland Park was ahead of the curve when it comes to people who advocate for stronger gun control or gun safety laws. What do you think about the state's policy response?
We're appreciative that the state finally did pass a statewide ban. As Rick mentioned, in Highland Park in 2013, we passed an assault weapons and large capacity magazine ban. We were sued by the NRA. We prevailed in that case. And from that point forward, I had been communicating with the Illinois General Assembly, urging them to take action, recognizing that this type of ban was constitutional. So for me, it had been a labor of 10 years. Deeply appreciative that action was finally taken. Frankly, that victory was somewhat bittersweet. But let's be clear, we're not an island. And so to me, that's one step, but we aren't done. We need a federal ban. There was one in 1994 that lasted for 10 years. According to the Giffords organization, during that time, mass shooting deaths dropped by 70%. And it's time that our country reckon with the fact that these types of weapons are simply too dangerous to be in civilian hands.
Rick, what do you say to people, and I'm sure we'll hear after this, that it's not the guns that kill people, it's people that kill people. And, you know, having these sorts of events might just be the cost of the Second Amendment. What do you say to that?
It doesn't have to be that way. I grew up in downstate Illinois in a small town. I hunted as a child. My father had weapons. My brother had weapons. But no one had weapons whose sole purpose was to kill people. These kinds of weapons were invented militarily to kill the most people in the shortest possible time. And they've worked their way into the general society. I don't look at the Second Amendment as being an absolute. You can't own a tank. You can't own a machine gun. I think there are logical places that you can draw the line based on magazine capacity and a number of other factors. But I think there are logical places that you can respect the Second Amendment, but yet make us all safer from these kind of events.
So, Mayor Roetering, as we look ahead, what does this year's Independence Day events look like in Highland Park?
We have been very deliberative in planning this year's 4th of July. We will be starting with a remembrance ceremony, remembering those lives lost and the impact on our community, followed by a walk down the parade route to reclaim the parade route. To me, it seemed a bit abrupt to go from a remembrance to a parade, but we kept hearing people say evil doesn't win. And I agree with that. So we as a community will retrace the parade route. We will reclaim it for our future 4th of July celebrations. There's going to be a community picnic at the end. followed by a concert by Gary Sinise and a drone show in the evening. I promised the third graders who came through City Hall this year that they will be able to celebrate the 4th of July again. To me and to so many of us, this was really a pinnacle of our childhood, being in that parade and celebrating our country as a community. And so this is an important remembrance, but it's also something that we recognize going forward that our children deserve to be able to celebrate our nation.
Well, Highland Park Mayor Nancy Rotering and Rick Atterbury, resident of Highland Park, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
You're listening to the 21st Show. More to come after a short break. Stay with us.